Great song.
I'll tell you what, boys. The best thing about not having Richard here, Richard's very domineering over the music selections on the show. I think, you know, he seems to think he's got some sort of hammer over the intro and extra songs.
I assume that Richard just does Bruce Springsteen all the time.
He would do that. But, you know, it's nice to have a more, you know, democratic, you know, discussion about the songs that should be played coming in and out of break, or just leaving it up to the expert that we have behind the board here in Timmy.
I can attest to having been on a driving trip with Richard, and I can tell you that anybody who's on the current trip is now listening to the All Bruce Springsteen channel on SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, though, Tim always plays good songs.
Exactly.
Richie was watching Tim's band play last Saturday night. And, you know, Sublime. I mean, classic. Summertime, great song.
Like Santeria?
No, that was that was Summertime.
No, he's saying the song
was Summertime. Sorry, yeah. I was confused as to where you were going with that.
Were you really thinking it was Lana Del Rey, a little Summertime Sadness? Like,
I don't even know what that is.
A little too contemporary.
I don't know. You just blew my mind with that comment. I'm not sure what that means at all, but we might have to play it coming back from the next break. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
NHL news and notes.
Couple odds and ends from around the NHL world this week. A little bit of news, thankfully. Thank God. Otherwise, it would have been a really dull show of just us talking music for the whole time. Nobody wants that. Montreal Canadiens sign Douglas Murray to a one-year, $1.5 million contract. He finished last year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They acquired him at the trade deadline in exchange for the in exchange from the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, the Penguins' playoff run did not work out as they had hoped, so they let Douglas Murray go. Canadians pick him up. Ezzy, your thoughts on this? Do you like this for the Habs?
Yeah, I do. Alexei Emelin is going to be injured to start off the season.
Tore his ACL.
So there is a hole to fill there. And Douglas Murray is all defense. He only had a few points last year, and he's never been an offensive defenseman. He's one of the most physical guys. Douglas Murray is one of those guys that forwards hate to go up against because he's so physical and he loves to use his body. Huge guy. But I like the signing, and it was a 1-year deal. And you know, he's towards the end of his career. He's getting up there in age, and you know, he's got a few years left, you know, probably in the NHL. And you know, I like that signing. And the Habs defense, you know, with the exception of PK Subban, you know, was a little suspect there in the playoffs. The Habs went out in the first round pretty easily last year. And Douglas Murray, it didn't quite work out for him in Pittsburgh. And they really brought him in to, you know, for the playoffs, right? Along with Jerome McGinley and Brendan Morrow. And I think it's pretty funny that none of those guys are coming back to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're all, you know, going to other teams. Well, Brendan Morrow hasn't signed yet. Right. But, you know, I like that move. And for the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, they're trying to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more tough, and you know, this is I think a 1-year deal that I like.
That's what he's bringing to the Canadiens, because he's not bringing, like you said, he's not bringing any offense,
and they don't need offense from the defense. Right. I mean, PK Subban and Markov are you know, two of the best offensive defensemen in the NHL.
He's certainly not fleet of foot. I would say that he might move like molasses.
They say slow and steady wins the race, and I think in that instance, he really exemplifies both those terms.
A little bit smaller in terms of height, but he sort of reminds me as a, you know, as sort of Hal Gill like.
Yeah, it's funny
physical
that you compared
physical and slow.
No, it's funny though that you compare him to, you know, one of the biggest, tallest guys in the NHL. Well, another guy that hasn't gotten a contract. But yeah, no, it's a similar type of defenseman in the sense that they're extremely physical and they play a shutdown role. But
Hal Gill, 6'7", 240, according to HockeyDB. Hal Gill, 6'7", 245.
Murray's like 6 feet, 6'1".
6'3", 245.
Okay, you know. So a little bit taller. But yeah, Murray, you know, is going to give the Montreal Canadiens, you know, a third pairing defenseman and possibly even second pairing while Emelin is out. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised, actually, that the Penguins didn't re-sign him. They ended up going with Rob Scuderi, bringing him back, and I think he got a 4-year contract.
He did.
So that when he got the 4-year contract, that pretty much, you know, told me that they weren't going to be bringing Murray back. But, you know, Murray for the Montreal Canadiens, I think it's good. if you think back of think back to you know, Yaroslav Spacek and some of the other guys that the Canadians have had, you know, that type of defenseman, a guy that is going to give them, you know what you're going to get with Douglas Murray, and he's going to give you, you know, solid defense. And yeah, he's not the best skater, but he's a guy that, you know, you feel confident putting up against the other team's best players. And even if you need to put him in your top pair at certain points, he can do that because he's got the veteran, you know, leadership and experience. So
yeah, put him into the right situation. He's a big physical guy. He's a big physical body who's going to, I mean, you're going to feel him on the ice. So, yep. you know, when he's on the ice against you, you know that you're going to, you know, it's going to certainly affect your mindset. He's not going to do anything exciting, but he's just, you know, he's a decent body. He's a decent depth defenseman.
You know, Drew, we're going to talk about body checking later on in the show for a little bit. And, you know, it's place in hockey. We were going to get into it last week, but we didn't have a chance. But you talk about you know, body checking, I mean that's his bread and butter, Douglas Murray. I mean, he's the type of guy that is going to be all over you, in your face, cross checking you in front of the net. I mean, that's his game. And you know, I think there's still very much a role for that in the NHL.
Yeah, and it's really odd because you're actually eating a loaf of bread with butter right now on the air. So, you know, again, there's a lot of symmetry going on there. Other news and notes from around the NHL. Timo Salani in this coming week is supposedly going to decide on his return to the Anaheim Ducks or not. He said in a statement earlier this week that playing time is a factor in his decision. I expect to see Timu return to the Anaheim Ducks. I'm not sure he's going to get all the playing time he wants. Do you see that becoming an issue in the course of the season, Dave, or do you just think that Timu will be the loyal soldier that he is?
You know what? It's a tough call because he's in such good physical shape, even at his current age, that I could see him, and he's still an elite player. I mean, he's still getting a ton of points for that team. So he's not going to want to be adopting third or fourth line minutes. He's saying, I want second line time, and I don't want to really take anything less because that's what, you know, my physical condition really kind of merits. And it's interesting.
He only had 24 points last year. I mean, he had 24 points in 46 games with the Ducks. So
yeah, that's not bad, though. Not terrible.
It's not second line. That's not second line minutes. That's not, doesn't deserve second line minutes at that rate of performance, especially given the guys that the Anaheim Ducks have ahead of them on the wing. Their young guys, their Emerson Edoms and their Kyle Palmieri's.
Emerson Edom is at this point isn't going to take that position. It's Palmieri is the guy that played second line right wing when Solani wasn't there. But you got to believe that Timo Solani right now, and playing time is an issue, but you'd have to believe that if he wasn't going to come back, he would have made that decision a long time ago. He's thinking right now very hard, and I don't think that there's any issues financially. I think that's going to work itself out. I don't believe that. I just think that he is really taking a lot of time to make the decision. But the reality is that you've got Corey Perry and Getzlaff on that top line, and Jacob Silverberg will probably end up, you know, filling the left wing role in place of Bobby Ryan there. But you've got Kyle Palmieri, you've got Andrew Cogliano, and you know, guys, let's be honest. When you're talking Timo Salani and you're talking Jaromir Jagr, you know, at this point, they might have to accept the fact that they're not second line right wingers, or you know. So I think Solani, it's interesting that story came out, and I agree with you, Drew. I mean, I think that, you know, 24 points in 48 games or so. He might have missed a couple games there, but Timo Salani, you know, is not you know, a point a game player, and the Anaheim Ducks right now have a lot of youth in their lineup. You've got Devontae Smith-Pelly is another guy that's on the right wing position. So I mean, they're already thinking, you know, down the road, this is probably Solani's last year or second last year. So you're right. I mean, he might have to accept a lesser role.
Maybe second line, maybe third line, second power play unit or something, right, along those lines, or have him, you know, I think on the power play, he can certainly still be effective, very effective. 5-on-5, I just don't know that he should be blocking the development of a younger player at this point.
And he's still got the wheels, but he's lost a step.
Well, I mean, he's 43 years old.
And Jagr has lost a step, but the thing is, Dave, these guys, even having lost a step, it's funny, Jaromir Jagr last year, even with having lost a step, he still is impossible to knock off the puck, mm-hmm. and he was still getting points, and he was playing in the play. You know, like, so these guys, even with that lost step, they can contribute. But, I mean, they might have to accept a lesser role if they want to continue their careers.
I think there's two interesting things. One is the fact that how does this impact the game, the Anaheim game and the Jets breakdown? Because right now the Anaheim game is an A game in the ABC range. We have that on legalcurve.com. I think it was in Tuesday.
You're talking about in the pricing structure.
The pricing structure. But really, that's how, a lot how people base their game selection on is that based on that.
Everyone
but
knows the Teemu game is a very is popular game. Game.
Right. But that game is not necessarily an A game without Teemu Selanne in it. The other thing of note, and it was in today's papers, is the fact that we're already talking about the next generation of Selanne.
His son.
His son. So yep. There was an interesting article on NHL.com.
His son's playing junior hockey.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's interesting to see how there's already now the next generation with the Selanne name on the back that will be, you know, potentially entering the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. Another note from Anaheim is that their defenseman that they signed this offseason, Sheldon Surre, is out for probably up to about 4 to 6 months. He had some wrist surgery. I think he tore a ligament or tore a muscle in his wrist while working out this offseason, and so he'll be out for a significant period of time. You know, what does that do to the, I mean, you look at the Ducks defense, and it doesn't screen to me as being a real solid part of their team. I mean, Cam Fowler, I would say, is probably their best defenseman, and Francois Beauchemin had a very good year. But after that, you're getting, ew.
The Ducks defense was very good last year, actually, and Sheldon Surre is a big loss for them. I mean, Sheldon Surre rejuvenated his career after, you know, going down to the AHL and coming back up, and that's a big loss for the Anaheim Ducks. And they went out and as you guys know, they signed Mark Fistrick, who is another guy, a defenseman, but he's not going to replace Sheldon Surre's offense. So that's a big loss for them.
Well,
you know, he was playing a little bit with Beauchemin, playing a little bit with Lucas Abiza, and then Fowler. You know, I mean, they have a pretty good top four there. And without Surre there, you're asking Fistrick to come in and play top four when he's more of a kind of sixth or seventh defenseman. He's another guy all about the body checking, very physical defenseman. But when I saw that, I mean, that's a big loss for the Ducks.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Everybody on the Ducks defense that sort of played better than I thought they were going to play last year is bumped up one slot. And I don't know that they can necessarily afford that. So that might be a team to keep an eye on in terms of acquiring if there's a team that, you know, needs to dump a defenseman in the course of the last couple weeks of the offseason here. Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm looking your way. That the Ducks might be a destination that a player could go. The Leafs have 7 defensemen under contract right now, still haven't signed Cody Franson, and that's a big RFA still waiting to get a contract there in Toronto. Anyways, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about body checking. As he mentioned, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.